Thank you. We do have one more prayer. Danny just received a call. His mother just been put in the hospital, so he and Dora had to leave, and they're heading to Oregon. So keep them in your prayers. No, not Vera.
Oh, okay.
That's his mother-in-law.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
So, you might need your Bibles today. Okay. All right. So, I have to start off. No. We're going to do lots of prayer. But to tell you that, once again, I'm so honored to be up here in front of each of you. You have no idea what it means to me. If you knew my life, you never would have thought I'd be up here. God did. God jerked me up by the head, said, "Listen, young man, you're not doing what I put you here to do. Straighten up."
I would love to have seen
that. Yeah. Yeah. You'll have to excuse me if I seem a little stoved up today. I was in my shop yesterday, and I was up on the back of my tractor, and I had a big argument with gravity. And gravity won. So I may or may not have some cracked ribs. I have no idea. But Deb offered, "Well, we better go to, you know, urgent care and get some x-rays." Nothing they can do for cracked ribs. You just get to be reminded of it every time you take a breath. So. See?
That's tough love right here.
Tough love. Toughen up, Buttercup. Okay. As Christians, are we to judge others?
No.
Thank you. Let's find out what the Bible has to say about that. Let's start with Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. I'll give you a second to get there. Verse 1, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Well, that's pretty clear to me. There are many times in God's Word that tells us about judging. In my concordance, in my NIV, there's at least 47 verses that talk about judgment of others, and that sort of thing. So, because there's so many places that we're told about it, I want to look at least one other. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. And this will be 1 through 3. Y'all didn't have your Bibles knowing what I was going to say today? Chapter 2, 1 through 3.
Having it knowing where to find stuff for 2 days.
"You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based in truth." And I'll add, I know we're not supposed to add to the Bible, but I'm going to add my perspective. only the level of truth that God could know. So when you, a mere human, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? No. Okay, I'm convinced God takes a pretty dim view on us judging others. So now you likely have a pretty good idea where this message is going to go. My question is, are you getting nervous? You should be. So just for Alice, let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, as Christians, we know that wherever you have put us, we are to serve you and bear witness to you. We do this with all the gifts you have given us. We ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Help us hear the direction you have established for each of us. Also, we pray for the safe travels for Pastor Curtis and Ginger and Danny and Dora and all those who are traveling. It's in your precious son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I ask you again, as Christians, should we judge others? Okay, so here we go. The real question is not should we judge others, but do we judge others? Absolutely, you bet we do. Right or wrong, we do. So, since we do judge others, we need to delve into whether or not there are times that it may be appropriate to judge others. What do you think? Are there times that we should judge others and not be in violation of God's word? Yeah. We've got some yeses. Okay. All right. So here's the problem. We know it's against God's word to judge, but we do it anyway. So we got some yeses. So do we judge others? Or are there times we should judge others? The answer is absolutely, possibly. How's that for a definite maybe? I could be a politician with an answer like that. Let me start off and make it very, very clear about today's message. I don't want you to think that I'm attempting to justify judging others against God's word. Rather, hopefully, to help us discern whether or not there are times that it would be appropriate to judge others without injuring our commitment to our relationship with God. As most of you know, I am a judge. Not a judge of talent, like on America's Got Talent, but a judge of people. I'm in so much trouble. But really, because I am a judge, does that mean I'm condemned forever? Hope not. As a judge, I hope I follow John 7:24, which says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We'll talk more about righteous judgment in a little bit. But in my case of being a judge, I have to carefully balance the line between judging people versus the actions of the people who appear in front of me. However, this is easier said than done. How can any of us not take into consideration at some level the individual's attitude and their appearance? It's very difficult. My question is, are judges authorized, selected, or even acknowledged by God? Yeah, fortunately for me, the answer is yes. And we can find this in Deuteronomy chapter 1, 15 through 18, which says, so I took the leading men of your tribes, wise and respected men, and appointed them to have authority over you as commanders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens, and as tribal officials. And I charge your judges at that time, hear the disputes between your people and judge fairly, whether the case is between two Israelites or between an Israelite and a foreigner residing among you. Do not show partiality in judging. Hear both the small and great alike. And here's the part that gives me comfort. Do not be afraid of anyone, for judgment belongs to God. Bring me any case too hard for you, and I will hear it. And at that time, I told you everything you were to do. Okay, I have no doubt that God placed me in the position of judge. So according to Deuteronomy, I'm safe. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm safe. I am kidding. We got you covered here. In John 7, we read, although reluctant, Jesus went to the Jewish festival of tabernacles in Judea. Remember, he told his disciples, I'm not going to go. It's not my time yet. But he had a change of heart, and he went anyway. Halfway through the festival, he went into the temple courts and began to teach. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? This evolved into a discussion of hypocrisy. Verses 23 and 24, that is in John 7. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that you keep the law of Moses, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearance, but instead judge correctly. So we are told there are times to judge, but with a good heart and judge correctly. We also learn in Matthew 18, 15 and 16, if your brother or sister sins, we all know this one, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or more witnesses. Here's the thing. The only way you can consider and counsel a brother who has sinned is to first make a judgment call on whether you believe he has sinned. That is judging. Where again, there is an appropriate time to make certain judgments. So at least we know God does acknowledge that there is a time and place for judging, but it's important to distinguish exactly what is being judged and by whom. Let's talk about some examples where we might judge someone. You drive up to a convenience store one night to grab a gallon of milk. There are several individuals hanging out in front of the store that you perceive to be thugs. You can fill in your own term there. Do you drive away without stopping? Or do you stop and hold onto your purse a little tighter or walk a little faster? We do. That's what we do. This is called self-preservation and keeping yourself safe. The need to do this we learn from life experience and from the nightly news. But your perception of these individuals being thugs is a judgment. Absolutely. Is God going to hold us against keeping ourselves safe because we made a judgment call? I don't think so. Let's look at another scenario. For weeks now, your daughter has been telling you about this great guy she met on the internet. His nickname is Stoner. Any red flags yet? Any judgment yet? But you love your daughter. She tells you that although he's between jobs right now, he'll be getting a huge inheritance from his grandmother's estate. Besides, he only got fired from his job because the boss didn't like him. He says he was the best darn sign twirler they've ever had. He says work's not going to be a problem anyway because the band he is in is just about to make it really big. Well, up until now, you've never had a reason to question your daughter's decisions. So you ask her, have them to the house to meet us. Well, Stoner is invited and shows up, of all days, Sunday morning. I'm not going to paint you a picture as to what Stoner looked like. You can fill that in. But it is as bad as you could imagine. As he is introduced, he does not reach out for your outstretched right hand. Instead, he looks at the ground and says, "What up, dude?" You not only notice the bloodshot eyes, but you also get a whiff of an odor that you recall from that concert you went many years ago. Are you going to judge Stoner? You better, for you are the parent or grandparent, and you have the biblically fundamental responsibility to raise and guide your children, providing care, protection, and support to help them grow and develop into capable, responsible individuals. By the way, Stoner showed up Sunday morning, right? Ask him. So you want to date my daughter? All right. We'd love to get to know you better. Why don't you come with us to Sunday services and we'll go out to lunch later and get to know one another. If he accepts your invitation, there might be a chance. Remember, I got straightened out. I know this scenario is a bit over-exaggerated, maybe. All this to say there are times we should judge others. But here's the question we must ask ourselves. On what basis are we judging? What is the goal of judging someone? Are we judging the person or their actions? In police work, judging people carries the term of profiling. Do police profile? You bet we do. We just don't call it profiling. But what's it? Investigating. Surveilling. Or anything else we can think of quickly when we're asked if we profile. Okay? But the important question is, on what basis are the police profiling? Sure, profiling typically means because we're going on the base of race or some other protected class. And I'm here to tell you, the vast majority of police do not profile on those protected classes. They profile on the scene that they are presented with. Is something out of place here? Okay. Do we judge people our kids choose to have friends? How about those they choose to marry? Even more. Does it stop them? Not always. So moving on, how can we know if our judging is against God's law? It's not all that difficult to determine if you will be committed to stop and consider what you are judging before you make such judgment. Why am I judging this person? What is my end goal? This will help you avoid the perils and dangers of judging. Let's go at it from another perspective. Can we agree that God has a plan for each of us? Can we agree that God provides for us? Can we agree that God has brought us here, not only to Meadview, but to this church as well? Can we agree that God wants us to share His Word with the ultimate goal of bringing individuals to Him? Can we agree that we cannot judge whether or not someone is worthy, willing, or even capable of salvation? We can agree it's not our job. Okay? I absolutely agree. So, if we agree to all these things, then we must ask ourselves, why did God bring me here? And as a Christian, what should I be doing here? Hopefully your answer includes something along the lines of sharing God's word and God's promise of everlasting life through salvation. And when we share God's good word, we cannot judge whether or not someone would benefit from hearing about God. Neither prince nor pauper, not if they live in a mansion or under a highway overpass, not if employed or unemployed, not if healthy or the sick, not an athlete or the disabled, not the young or old, not the clean and beautiful or the dirty and unattractive. And I certainly could go on and on and on. But consider this. Perhaps the one person you are just sure would not want to hear your offering of God's promise, that they may be that person. That one person that has resisted the message time and time again, but your connection with Him at this time is the one time that He has heard what accepting Jesus means, what salvation means, and what God's true love is all about. I have a story to share with you, if I can get through it. My sister, just a week or so ago, during Ash Wednesday, she went to Ash Wednesday service at her Lutheran church, and they practiced the ash on the forehead, like Catholics and whatnot. And on her way home, she went to a gas station where she needed some fuel, and she met the gas station attendant there when she went up to pay. And it's the same girl she had always seen there. This girl was dirty, disheveled, greasy hair, just not well taken care of, and never had much to say. And on this day, the girl asked my sister, "Did you just come from church?" And Jane says, "Yeah." And the girl broke down in tears and said, "Can I share your ashes?" So forehead to forehead, my sister shared those ashes. And the lady cried, and she says, "As soon as I get off work, I'm going to church and talk to the pastor. I've just been waiting for someone to talk to, someone to show me a sign to get there." What a perfect example of someone who we would normally overlook. Hey, I made it through, sort of. We simply cannot miss an opportunity to share the word of God just because we have misjudged someone. So does God use each of us to touch someone's life in a spiritual way? Absolutely. Then we have to ask, is our judging getting in the way of what God wants us to do? If so, this is when judging another is against God's word. By judging someone, you are not only labeling that person, but also projecting to the world the image that you conceived. It may have no impact on your life, but the person you just judged may become scarred for life. Judgment is a source of fear and lack of courage. To judge is to condemn and denounce. It means to render a sentence against someone by holding a higher moral ground. That's a red flag right there. We usually think what is good for us should be good for the other person. And we do this all the time for the simple reason that it makes us feel good about our own self. A reaffirmation of our identity and further binds us into our own minds. That's why it's wrong. It's easy to judge. However, it takes courage and fearlessness to empathize by stepping into someone else's shoes. Only when you leave that little comfort zone would you be able to truly understand another person's perspective. But that does not mean that we should be mindless people with no ability to see right from wrong, good from evil. One should include discernment. A discerning mind sees things as they are. It carries no blinders, but is simply clear thinking infused with love. So let people have their individual space, liberty, and joy, and you have yours. As I mentioned early on, we would discuss righteous judgment a little later. Well, it's a little later. Remember, John 74 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. To judge someone righteously means to judge based on truth and justice, not appearances. It also means to recognize that everyone's true self is spiritual. So, how do we judge righteously? Avoid judging on appearance. Don't judge people by their wealth or outward appearance. Recognize your own sins before judging others. Acknowledge your own shortcomings. Judge with love and humility. Show compassion and seek restoration instead of shame. See past the surface. Look at the heart of the matter, not just the outward appearance. Submit to God. Seek to understand God's word and do His will. So, why judge righteously? The Bible advises us judging righteously because of pride and bitterness can lead to unrighteous judgment. It is impossible to see all the issues that contribute to another's imperfections. We should correct others gently and patiently. The goal of judgment should be to seek restoration. We should judge by what is right and not condemn. So just to wrap it up, God's word teaches us that we should not judge others, but we also learn there are limited exceptions where we should judge others. When confronted with a situation that invokes discernment, ask yourself, do you like it when other people judge you just by what they've heard about you? How would you feel if people judged you every day? Have you ever judged anybody and were wrong about your judgment? What right do you have to judge other people? Are you the most perfect person in the world? Some people believe that when they judge people, that they have a right to, because I've cleaned up my life a little bit. How does God feel about you judging? Always remember that when you judge somebody, somebody else is judging you. God created every one of us one by one. So when you judge someone, you are judging God's own work. And if that doesn't stop you, nothing will. God does not like it when we judge each other because none of us are perfect. God is the only person that has a right to judge us. And most importantly, God's judgment is the only one that really matters. So, when in doubt, pray it out. All right. So I believe we have a closing song. And as I always say, I'll never make a pastor. I don't go long enough. When in doubt, pray it out. While the worship team's going up there, I do have one other announcement. The church we are supporting, a mission church in Golden Valley, actually I think it's called Route 66 Church or something like that. No, not the Cowboy Church. This one's out toward Chinnerup. Doesn't matter. This church supports them. And y'all remember Pastor Dean Stanley? He's at the Baptist Church in Golden Valley. He's like, or that church is their sponsor. So he's kind of helping them out. Well, they're suffering some growing pains. And because of that, they're looking for a new pastor. So we're to pray for them and help that little church continue to grow. Most of the parishioners are staying there. And we hope them speedy finding a pastor. But they might ask me to go. Not permanently, just on occasion to fill their pulpit when Pastor Dean, or they have some deacons there that can help out too. So be praying for them.